Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Azzurri fan. Europe gulps down a triple espresso and wakes up to the Italian challenge, while Group A rival Switzerland draw with Wales. We'll bring you insight into Switzerland and add our voices as the world of football send their best wishes to Inter's Christian Eriksen after the shocking scenes in Copenhagen, in this first of hopefully many Euro specials. Hello everyone, and welcome to the first full episode of Scudetto Euros edition. And we had planned to record yesterday, but just given the situation with Christian Eriksen in the Finland-Denmark game, we decided to postpone it until today, basically just because we didn't have the full information on the night about what was going on. We felt a bit uneasy speaking about it publicly when Eriksen's condition was just unknown. Obviously, still early days, but the messages is coming out about Eriksen now have been very positive, much to everyone's relief. So we are back to talk about beers and open goal misses and that sort of nonsense, because quite frankly, that's what we do best. So that's enough from me. Let's catch up with the squad and do some beers. So Kenny, how are you getting on? How's the tournament been for you so far?
I'm doing well, thank you, Oscar. It's the weather here has been absolutely great, which is bodes well for tomorrow, when of course I am traveling to a live football match for the first time in about a year and a half. I'm going to be at the Scotland Czech Republic game tomorrow, so looking forward to that. For now, the tournament, I mean, it's been obviously yesterday was a really odd one. I mean, I kind of quite enjoyed the first game, even though it wasn't the best entertainment. And then was driving home, missed the first half of the Denmark Finland game, and as I got in, turned my phone on to see what the updates were, and I think that just kind of knocked everyone for six. So just really relieved, obviously, as I'm sure everyone in the footballing community is about that. It's difficult to say really that it feels like the tournament has got started. I think because of that, it's kind of just completely kind of set everyone back to kind of, you know, I mean, you can't get too excited about things when something like that's happening. But hopefully the news continues to be good from Christian Eriksen, and we can get on to looking forward to a great tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really was quite shocking, obviously, the two of us, Kenny, being Tottenham fans, but all of us following Serie A. Christian Eriksen's obviously been very present in our kind of, I don't know, just in our everyday lives, kind of following his
Absolutely.
Career. And yeah, just a very shocking thing to see. So all the best to him, kind of goes without saying, really. Yeah, so how about you, Buzz? Anything interesting going on in your part of the world?
I'm drinking 7.4% beer. I'm not celebrating anything in particular that may have happened today or any huge change after 12 or so years. Just happen to have a strong beer and happy for the winds of change, as they say.
I'm glad you have something to celebrate, given that obviously not in the tournament over here. Obviously, Finland participating I think the celebrations were kind of somewhat muted given the circumstances in which they took place. But at the same time, you know, it's Finland's first kind of victory in a major tournament for, I think, ever. And so there were still kind of flares in the square last night. And I saw some messages on Twitter between kind of Finnish and Denmark fans. I don't think there would be any hard feelings about that at all.
Do they have a knighthood in Finland? Because that keeper needs to get one.
What they have is like on New Year, all the people that have achieved something great for Finland go to the president's house. So I imagine the keeper will definitely be invited to the president's house this year.
What goes on at the president's house?
you just like you they it's very strange actually. Like everyone gets kind of dressed up and you queue up and you just shake the hand of the president and then you move on, but it's on TV and everyone in Finland watches it.
This is how you spend your New Year's Eve.
I'm now thinking it's not a New Year. I think it's on Independence Day. I may need to check that. Obviously,
when are you going to be on there for outstanding services to podcasting?
Well, that's a very good question. I probably need to learn when it is, and then I'll be a shoo-in. On the beer front, I've got something called the Daring Daughter. It's a nice tropical lager. I'm trying to find the name of the brewery on the can right now, and I can't seem to.
It's a cool can, though.
It's a cool can, yeah. It's pink and green. It's kind of punk.
We may or may not tweet it out.
We met Olvi is the name of the brewery. It's nice.
I don't think I actually said what I was drinking. So for the record, BrewDog Duopolis Oat Cream Double Dry Hop IPA. Even BrewDog are at this whole thesaurus thing, Boaz, that you were mentioning earlier. But that is really lovely, lovely beer. Quite summery, which I wasn't expecting it to be considering it's oat cream, but it's a good one.
Right. Well, let's speak about the Italy-Turkey game. Obviously, I think we all watched this, all enjoyed the 3-0 victory. A lovely way for Italy to kick off the tournament. What do we think, though, Kenny? Are Italy really good or are Turkey really bad? I couldn't figure it out from the game, and I admit I missed a bit of the first half, but Italy really seemed to dominate them.
Italy are really good. Turkey aren't particularly great from what we saw, but Italy are really good. I mean, Mancini's record going into this tournament speaks for itself. And I think a lot of what the papers have been saying since about all of the stuff that we've been saying in the build-up to the tournament, really, that just like the kind of club mentality that Mancini's managed to instill there. And I think what was really, really impressive was that they basically came up against a wall. I mean, Turkey seemed to have no ambitions to break out of their own half, really. And despite that, they remained patient. They should have had what for me was an absolutely blatant penalty in the first half, according to the laws, the handball laws as they are today. But they just kept plugging away. They didn't get impatient. They got their reward, and 3-0 did not flatter them at all. I thought they looked great. And what we've also got to say is that this is an Italy team without one of their, you know, first choice midfielders. So I guess more about him when we speak about the Switzerland game, but without Verratti as well. So just fantastic. Italy are great. And I'm not going to say straight off that they're going to go all the way, but they're in the mix, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And is there anyone that you want to pick out in particular for their performance, Boaz? I mean, I'm keen to kind of bang the drum for Spinazzola. I've been saying all season he's Roma's best player, and obviously throughout his career had some kind of injury issues, but he put in a really good performance yesterday, and he's been really great this season, just attacking down that right side. Anyone you want to highlight, Boaz, any particular performances?
Well, Spinazzola was also picked out as the player of the match on the day, and I think rightfully so. The fact that he's a left back who plays with his right foot really froze the defense off balance. Reminds me of a certain Paolo Maldini. And his attacking skills were on display. He was constantly a thorn in the side. And that penalty that Kenny mentioned earlier was actually drawn from the non-penalty, actually, because for some reason it wasn't given. But it was drawn from a Spinazzola cross. And other than him, you have to give credit to Berardi. There was a lot of question marks about his selection before the game, because obviously Chiesa plays for a better club on paper. At the end of the day, a lot of fans were kind of had question marks on why there are two Sassuolo players in this Italy squad. But at the end of the day, Berardi made the first goal. I mean, we should, it's a slight side note, but what is Demiral doing exactly there? I'm not sure, but it's one of the funniest own goals I've ever seen. But thanks, we have to say, as an Azzurri fan. But overall, Berardi was constantly a thorn in the Turkey defense's side, and well worth his man of the match performance next to Spinazzola for me.
Yeah, hopefully he wants to get out of Roma now that Mourinho won't use him as much as an attacking fullback, and he can come and play for his old manager Fonseca at Spurs. Kenny, you wanted to pick someone out.
I just actually wanted to pick up on what Boaz said there. I was actually one of the people, and I did not, for clarity, I did not begrudge Berardi his start, because he's been absolutely fantastic for Sassuolo. But I was actually one of the people who said that I would have preferred to see Chiesa in there. I actually would have preferred to see Bastoni to Chiellini, but Chiellini rolled back the years as well. So, you know, that just goes to show these Mancini's paid the big bucks for a reason. And another thing I wanted to pick up on is this talk about Italy's striker coming into this tournament has been something that has been, you know, an ongoing saga, and just fantastic for Immobile to get straight off the mark like that in the first game. So, you know, hopefully that's something to kick on with. Just really difficult to pick a standout performance. So many in that side.
Yeah, on Chiellini, Baz, I enjoyed your tweet of Mancini. What position do you want to play tonight, Chiellini? Chiellini, yes.
For some reason, he was taking shots. He was like, he was playing that as a tutto campista, and I guess that's a testament to what Turkey offered from an offensive perspective. Since we mentioned Immobile, I also wanted to give a quick shout out to his goal celebration. Apparently, Italian comedian, and I say that with air quotes, but Italian trash comedian Lino Banfi asked the squad to celebrate the way he would do if they scored. So all of them went, porca puttana, when they scored the way he did, straight to the cameras. So fantastic stuff.
Indeed. Right, so next up for Italy is Switzerland. That's on Wednesday. And for this game, we've got a scouting report from Swiss football expert Maja Josefovic, who follows Switzerland home and away. So let's hear what she has to say. Over to you, Maja.
So after the initial disappointment, I am finally ready to talk about yesterday's game. I was quite disappointed. I am still quite disappointed because I thought we should have had that game. We should have won. It does feel like we gave 2 points away. No offense to the Welsh team. I thought that in general it was an okay-ish game. I mean, a lot of people have said it was boring, but again, this is not Belgium, Germany. This is Switzerland, Wales. So you have to lower your expectations. I thought that we started quite wobbly. So the first 10 minutes, we didn't really play great. I think it took us some time to get into the game. And after that, we were okay. Again, I say okay, it wasn't good, but it was okay. Was a bit disappointed by Embolo in the first half. I expected more from him. He did have a good pass in the 43rd minute. And then, of course, in the second half, he finally shined. It was good. But again, the first half, he kind of went missing. Then the second half, as I mentioned, I think we started great. Obviously, there was a goal. And then we became extremely passive. Now, I'll say more about that afterwards. And then again, we had a fabulous last 10 minutes, but it was too little too late. What I think, and again, this is just my opinion, led to this, I don't know, passive play in the second half is that I have no idea what Petkovic was thinking when he subbed Shaqiri out. Like, what were you? He brought on Zakaria for Shaqiri. And as soon as that happened, the whole game, the whole dynamic changed, and we became so passive and nothing. Like we sat really deep, and Shaqiri was the one who was providing the balls for our attack. So, you know, taking him out proved to be fatal, as it did, because then this is what I think led to the goal that Wales scored. I was also disappointed with Xhaka, our captain, because he's the captain. He should have realized how passive the team was. He should have done something, you know, inspired the midfield. Another sub that I didn't quite understand, or, well, which should have been made much, much earlier, was Gavranovic for Seferovic. I mean, Seferovic had an okay game, but obviously not much was happening, especially in the second half. So maybe after the 60th, you know, 65th minute, Petkovic should have been, okay, well, let's put Gavra on. But again, I think he was brought on in the 85th minute, which was just like, why? Obviously, once he was on, he then started creating chances. It was great. He did have that offside goal, which obviously was offside, so it didn't count. But I mean, it brought back the action. And so I was quite disappointed that that change hadn't been made sooner. What's also disappointing is that when you look at the stats, you know, we were the better team, but that doesn't help if you don't score the goals. So we weren't efficient enough. We wasted all of our corners. Yeah, just in general, very disappointing. Now, what do I predict for the Italy game? I have to admit, I couldn't watch the Italy-Turkey game. I just saw the highlights. From the looks, Turkey were constantly under attack, so that has me a little bit worried. However, I do think that defensively, Switzerland isn't a bad team. I do think, I mean, I love Sommer. I think he's a fantastic, fantastic keeper. I think we have some great defensive players, so I'm not really that worried. However, Italy are great defensively and in attack. And so it will be really hard to penetrate their defense. And we do not have something that I think is Switzerland's problem is we don't really have a very efficient and good attack. And if you create chances, but you don't really take them, then obviously you're not efficient, you're not good at scoring goals, I don't know, then you can't win games. And this has been our problem throughout the last few years. That being said, I do like Embolo, I do like Gavranovic, but there are no Ronaldo, there are no Lewandowski, so there you go. Again, I can't see us not getting into the round of 16. I do think we should be, we should comfortably get into the round of 16. And if we're lucky, depending on who we face, we should also get into the quarterfinals. Now, let's talk about young talents in the Swiss team. Now, somebody who I really, really, really like is Omlin, our second goalkeeper. He plays for Basel and he has been fantastic for them. So should we at some point have to sub Sommer? I am not worried. He's really good. Somebody else who I generally really like is Mbabu. Now, he wasn't great in yesterday's game. I do definitely expect him to show more in the next few games, but he is good. He's really good. So hopefully he will show us that he deserves that title of being good. And somebody that isn't at the Euros at the moment because they're too young, but who I am definitely keeping an eye out for in the future is Noah Okafor. Now, he plays for Red Bull Salzburg. He's a super fast winger and a very, very exciting prospect. He played for Basel before he went to Salzburg, and he was really good, shows a lot of potential, hasn't been able to show all of it at Salzburg. I think he has to compete. Again, he's very young. He has to compete with some good players there. Hasn't gotten that much playing time. But he does show huge potential. So I'm really excited to see him play more. And hopefully at the next, World Cup, Euros, whatever, excited to see him play for the Swiss team.
Thanks so much to Maria for that scouting report. Really insightful stuff. And we especially enjoyed all the references to efficiency in there. Very, very stereotypically Swiss. Boaz, how are you feeling about the Switzerland game after hearing that?
I have to say that I was a little bit unsure of what to expect before the Turkey game, because it's always weird at the beginning of the tournament, and Italy usually don't start too strong. Having got that monkey off our back, I think that particularly with the format of this tournament, the match against Switzerland is a lot more of a relaxed build-up for me. And I did watch the Swiss game against Wales, and I do think that Italy are a better side and that they have better attacking options. And I wouldn't be surprised if Italy were to win that game as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the second half of that Switzerland-Wales game was quite exciting from a neutral point of view, I thought. But definitely looked to be below the level of Italy. What did you make of it, Kenny?
I completely agreed with Maria's summary of the game. I actually think the Switzerland completely shot themselves in the foot by removing Shaqiri. And to me, I mean, they were on the ascendancy. They just had to put Wales away, really. Other than the first sort of 10 minutes, which I think is what Maria said as well, when Wales started quite brightly, and Switzerland brought on defensive midfielder for your most creative player, let Wales back into it, and then nearly got the winner, but obviously it was disallowed. Yeah, so I think from what I've seen, the Switzerland looked like they should be the biggest test for Italy in this, which I guess is slightly in contrast to what Boaz was said. But agreeing with Boaz, I do think that Italy look the superior side. So they should come away with the 3 points. And if they do, you would think that may well be job done, really. They can kind of maybe get some minutes into the legs of other squad players for the last game, if that's what happens. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Baz, did you want to come back on something there?
I just wanted to say that this is a slight side note, but this will be the return of Vladimir Petkovic to the Olimpico. He doesn't leave the best memories since he left Serie A, but it'll be interesting to be back in what used to be his home.
Yeah. And just picking up on what you were saying about Shaqiri, Kenny, I do really enjoy watching him for Switzerland. I feel like for Italy, he's not given the freedom. For Liverpool, he's not really given the freedom that he needs to kind of flourish. And he gets that playing for Switzerland mostly. So a real joy of a footballer for the spectator. Yeah, we should just round up kind of what's been going on in the managerial merry-go-round since we last spoke. So away from the Euros, Gattuso to Fiorentina. I think there were rumours of that last time we spoke. Di Francesco to Verona. Inzaghi's gone to Inter. Simone Inzaghi and his brother has gone to Brescia. Sorry, Baz, did you want to?
I cannot believe Di Francesco's got another gig. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. We'll let our lawyers edit that out. And of course, Sarri to Lazio. Which I think has been rumoured for a long time, but it was once talks between Spurs and Conte fell through, there were like ripplings of the possibility of him taking that job instead. But he's confirmed to Lazio now,
and Fonseca to Spurs looks to be very much on. So
yeah, exactly.
Not sure how I feel about that one.
Yes, it's a very strange one for me, having been following Spurs and Roma this season.
Yeah.
Swap managers after both underachieving.
We joked about this on one pod, didn't we? Did we not joke about this? I feel like we did.
Oscar wished for this.
I wished for Mourinho to go away to Italy. I didn't wish for Fonseca to come back. I'm not totally opposed to the appointment. I think he's... There are good aspects to Fonseca's management style, which could suit Spurs. But after the rumours of Poch, it's a disappointment. And anything would be.
Going back to the peninsula, I'm not sure if you mentioned it just there, but Napoli also confirmed Spalletti as their manager, which pretty much shows there's a lot of alpha dogs in Italy next year. And it's going to be tasty. I mean, the press conferences are going to be almost as good as the matches.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some good press conferences all around next season. Looking forward to discussing those on our podcasts. But just moving back onto the pitch, kind of the rumoured player moves that could go along with some of these managerial switches. So it looks like Inzaghi might be taking Radu from Lazio to Inter. And Donnarumma has reportedly now agreed a move to PSG subject to the medical.
Who is that? Spoken.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've spoken at length about this on the podcast before, Baz. I don't know if you want to add anything else, but that kind of answers my question.
I mean, it's just strange that Italy are at their Euro without a keeper. I just don't understand this. 10 players every match. Crazy.
Yeah, and on that topic, Buffon, rumoured to be going to Parma, which could be an interesting one.
That would be so poetic, wouldn't it? I'd love it. That would be great if that came off.
Gorgeous. Nice closing of a cycle.
Yeah, symmetry.
And on foreign clubs poaching Italian players from the previous point, it looks like Leicester have made a bid for Gosens. May not have met Atalanta's valuation yet, but obviously, Kenny, you've kind of been resigned to a while to the fact that he might go, but obviously he'll be sad if he does.
Yeah, I think he had spoken about potentially going to one of the big clubs in Germany. If he goes to Leicester, fair enough.
Yeah, obviously they signed Tim Castagna last summer.
Yeah.
So obviously had some success there and keen to kind of repeat the transaction in a way. And yeah, just so back on the Euros, Castagna's going to miss the rest of the tournament with what looked to be a fractured eye socket. I'm not sure if that was confirmed on the doctor's report. But yeah.
Those were the most recent reports that I read, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. This is written as a kind of segue to... relating the vision to Eurovision. I'm not sure how tasteful that is, but
I wasn't going for that, but I appreciate your creative thinking. I just wanted to say that with Italy's Maneskin winning the Eurovision, Italy are on the roll and on the way to doing the never done before double of winning the Euro and the Eurovision in the same year. So we're here to break records, right?
That is the real double, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what everyone has been dreaming of since
the premium double. Okay, that's probably enough for this week. Let's just give a few honourable and dishonourable mentions. And I'll let you kick it off, Baz, with an honourable for some murals.
Yeah, since we last recorded, some murals were officiated, one in Milan with Roberto Baggio and with his legendary number 10 shirt, and one in Florence for Davide Astori. Both are part of a new street art incentive from Italian cities, and both look gorgeous. Well worth checking out.
Yeah, and while we're on murals, we should give also an honourable to the Mourinho versus Sarri murals that have been going on in Rome. the Roma fans for putting one up of Mourinho riding a Vespa or some kind of scooter with the special one written on it, and Lazio fans for defacing it with a cloud of smoke being blown in his face by Sarri, which of course excellent. So well done.
Nice.
And while we're on motorized vehicles, Kenny, I think you've got a dishonorable.
Yeah, I'm going to kick off my honorables for the Euros with a dishonorable for that absolutely ludicrous spectacle that we saw with the referee picking up the match ball, putting it down in a remote control car, which then failed to start and eventually made its way to the center circle to then be picked up. Was it the same ref? I'm not sure. I can't remember now. But I mean, yeah, just what a joke. I don't really think football needs that kind of advertising. It was funny, but it also kind of made a bit of a mockery of the whole tournament, really.
It happens every tournament as well, but there's some sort of issue with the remote control car.
And it's important to stress that there is no truth in the rumors that Insigne drove home with that car.
Okay, Baz, you want to give us a slightly more serious honourable?
I wanted to give a honourable to Lazio, Foggia and Bologna legend Beppe Signori, who was in the 90s was one of the best goal scorers, and I believe Kenny referenced his unique penalty taking technique in one of our past episodes. So generally one of these like 90s heroes, and he was caught up in a whole betting scandal that happened in 2011 with a match between Modena and Sassuolo, I believe. Unlike some of the other people who were in this case, he decided to go all the way with the court case, and he was absolved quite recently of all the suspicions against him, and he's a free man again. And he obviously said, no one's going to give me back these 10 years, but it's nice that my name is now clean.
Yeah, good to know, absolutely. And at the other end of the pitch, I would just want to talk about defensive excellence for a second. I want to give an honourable to Giorgio Chiellini. I mean, much has been made in the media before about him and Bonucci celebrating clearances like goals, but to do it when you're winning 3-0 as well, which incidentally is the highest ever goal total that Italy has achieved in a single match in the Euros.
As predicted by Achilles the Cat.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
It was this year there was that octopus from the World Cup a while back? Apparently this time around it's a cat.
Right. My side note was going to be in my 7-a-side team, which is like 30% Italians, 30% English players, 30% other and 10% Finnish. All the English guys play at the back. And after that, the Italians were like, this is how you need to celebrate clearances. So we're going to be working on that, modelling it off Chiellini and Bonucci.
Nice.
Buzz, you wanted to give an honourable to Bastoni's mum.
Yeah, this is actually from back in Inter's title celebration. And obviously Inter had cakes out and all the players on the pitch. But I took particular joy in seeing Bastoni's mum. Bastoni was 22, I might add. Bastoni's mum wiping her son's mouth after he was eating cake. There's a lot of cliches about Italian mums going around, and well, God bless her. That was awesome.
and from one of the younger players in the Euros to one of the oldest, Kenny. You wanted to give an honourable to Pandev.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I? To be honest, I didn't realize that I had this obsession with Pandev until the end of the until our end of season roundup. But Boaz pointed it out to me, and when I saw that Pandev had scored in his first game for North Macedonia in a major finals, I had no option but to give him an honorable, a thoroughly well deserved honorable. Unfortunately, the score didn't go the way he would have liked, but still two games to put that right.
Yeah, and one of the first games I've watched in a pub for many months, so much enjoyed seeing him get on the score sheet. Normally, we try and end the honourable and dishonourable section on a bit of a jovial note, but this time I think it's appropriate to end with the kind of Christian Eriksen tribute. So, Baz, we wanted to give a few honourables for players that had gone out of their way to make a statement about this.
Yeah, we always complain about football rivalries and a lot of the side effects of football, but it seemed like most of the football movement came as one this time around. Particularly nice touches were from Lukaku, who shouted, "Chris, I love you," after he scored for Belgium, or Hakimi, who put up the number 24 when he scored in a friendly for his own national team. But also other tributes from Barella to Kjaer for protecting his teammates so well and other things like that. It was generally in such a tragic moment, there was some positive in it.
Absolutely. Great to see that from the kind of from his teammates, but also just from the wider footballing family. So yeah, that's all we've got time for this week, or at this point of the competition. We'll be back, I'm not sure exactly when, probably at some point after the Switzerland game, right?
I think so, yeah.
As soon as we find a Welsh guy to give us a tactical breakdown.
Yeah, we'll be back then. Until then, if you don't already, please do subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your audio on demand. Until then, enjoy the Euros.
Stagione 2000-2001.
Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto per la squadra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.